Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How do you react when you are told to do something you really just don't want to do? I am reminded of a situation with a child that was told to me by another parent. While his mother was washing the dishes, a small boy slipped his way into the kitchen. The boy switched off the lights, leaving his mother standing in the darkness, unable to complete the dishwashing. The mother asked the young boy to turn the lights back on, but the young boy replied, "I can't reach it." Now we know this was a bald-faced lie, since he had managed to turn the lights off in the first place. Upon hearing the commotion, Dad arrived on the scene to rectify the situation. This time, the young boy was told to turn on the lights by his father, and again he replied, "I can't reach the switch." His father retrieved a chair, positioned it under the light switch, and placed the boy on it so he could reach it. And defiantly, the boy put his hands behind his back and he said, "I can't reach it." The father told the boy to put his arms up and reach up and turn on the light. And the boy indignantly responded with his real answer, "No." I think we all know what happened next. Let's just say that after his father administered several applications of the law to the boy's rear end, or as we would say in the South, painted his back porch red, he finally repented of his sin and he turned the lights back on for his mother. Maybe you make excuses why you can't or won't do something. Maybe you procrastinate. Maybe you avoid the person who justly told you to do something and you pretend that they never said anything to you at all. Perhaps in stubbornness or out of spite, you do the opposite of what you were told to do, or you voice your defiance and flat out reject it by saying no. These are just some of the ways we break the fourth commandment. And this is what Jonah did. When God told Jonah to do a specific task that Jonah didn't want to do, he didn't initially complain or make excuses. He just ran away. You see, God told Jonah to go to Nineveh, the capital of the Assyrian Empire, and call out against the wickedness and the evil they were doing. This would be the same as you going by yourself, unannounced, to the governor and the legislators of California and calling them out for their wicked acts. I have no doubt some of you here would have no problem doing that, but Jonah did not want to do it. Jonah chooses to run from God. He goes down to Joppa and finds a ship that will take him to Tarshish. Jonah gets out of town as fast as he can. Instead of traveling to Nineveh, he goes in the opposite direction. He is hoping to avoid God, as if that is possible. He wants to avoid God so that he does not have to do what God has commanded him to do. Jonah is abandoning his vocation as prophet and turning his back on God. The real reason behind Jonah's avoidance and flight from God is not essentially with Nineveh. Jonah has a problem with God, and he has a problem with God and his merciful nature. Jonah is a Hebrew, and as we read, he confessed Yahweh to be the creator of the sea and the dry land. He also knows that God is merciful and forgives those who repent. And just as we understand the word of God to be law and gospel, Jonah is instructed by God to preach the law to the Ninevites. But Jonah knows that the word of God also includes his mercy and forgiveness for repentant people. Jonah has no problem with the law being applied to Nineveh. What Jonah would really like is for God to punish and destroy the inhabitants of Nineveh, not to save them. In Jonah's mind, Nineveh is inhabited by evil Gentiles outside of the covenant, and they do not merit God's mercy, but only his wrath. You see, Jonah's real problem is with the gospel. He believes that the gospel is only for himself and for the Israelites, not for Gentile foreigners. Jonah would rather die than see God show his mercy upon this city of pagans. In Jonah's mind, the city of Nineveh is the embodiment of evil and wickedness, just as we view some immoral cities in our own nation. In Jonah's judgment, they don't deserve God's mercy, and the notion that if they repented, God might relent from his judgment upon them is something he finds abhorrent. But remember, God has said, "Vengeance is mine." Jonah is stepping in the place of God and deciding for God. Jonah's sin, attempting to thwart the will of God, causes the judgment he believes is for the Ninevites, to fall upon him. Brothers and sisters in Christ, God does not punish for the sake of punishment or because he enjoys it. God is holy and just. God speaks the word of law, and he punishes people to ultimately lead them to repentance and forgiveness. God desires repentance. Sometimes it takes a storm to get our attention. The judgment of God falls upon Jonah when God hurls a great storm upon the boat he is fleeing in. Jonah, secure in his sin, is fast asleep in the depths of the ship. But the tempest rages and it threatens to break up the boat. And after the crew casts lots, Jonah is exposed as the calm of the storm, which imperils all on board. And God calms the storm and saves the sailors from death when Jonah is thrown overboard. Jonah's sin of disobedience results in him being thrown overboard and swallowed by a great fish. But the belly of the fish is not a means of punishment. It is a means of salvation. Jonah could have drowned and died in the depths of the ocean, but instead, God appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah and preserve him for 3 days. From the belly of the great fish, Jonah cries out to God in prayer and in repentance. And hearing this prayer of repentance, God speaks to the fish and it spits him up upon dry land so that Jonah can finish his mission to Nineveh. God brings Jonah to repentance in the belly of the great fish, and he calls the city of Nineveh to repentance through the prophet Jonah. And the call of confession and repentance from God is uncomfortable business. The law makes us uncomfortable because it shows us who we are. None of us like confessing that we are sinners. Wouldn't we all just rather run from God than hear the incriminating words of the law? God is not using Jonah as an example of how he will smite us with his judgment if we disobey him or if we run from him. The point of the Jonah account is that God is a God of mercy, and he relents from his judgment against sin to the repentant. God didn't let Jonah die as he heard his prayer of confession and repentance from the tomb of the great fish, and God refused to let the Ninevites die without hearing the law and gospel preached to them by Jonah. The message of God's mercy to sinful people is so important that our Lord Jesus pointed to Jonah 3 times in Scripture as the sign. Jonah is the Old Only Testament prophet whom Jesus directly compares himself with. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus said, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, something greater than Jonah is here." The sign of Jonah, as Jesus preached in the Gospel of Matthew, is meant for those who are well acquainted with the narrative and the book of Jonah, the Pharisees. And today, the evil and adulterous generation are those who outwardly belong to the church and claim connection with God through Christ, yet violate this relationship by perverting God's word, disobeying God's commands, and joining with others of the same kind. The sign or miracle of Jonah prefigures what Jesus will do. The Son of Man will die and rise from the dead on the third day. And Jesus puts his seal on the historical fact of the account of Jonah, who was in the belly of the great fish for 3 days and three nights. Whoever rejects this miracle rejects Jesus. The miracle is not that Jonah was swallowed by the great fish, but that after being swallowed, he was preserved alive, spat out on the third day, and escaped death to accomplish his God-given mission to Nineveh. As Jonah escaped from the belly of the fish on the third day, our Lord Jesus Christ rose from the grave on the third day to complete his mission. This is the sign of Jesus' resurrection, and only judgment and death await those who do not believe and will not repent. Why, even the inhabitants of Nineveh who repented at the preaching of Jonah will rise up and condemn those who reject the preaching of Jesus. In our gospel reading, a terrible storm comes upon the disciples, and Jesus calms the storm with his word. And only Jesus can do this with his word because he is God incarnate. He is the word through whom all things were created. He is the Lord of whom Jonah confessed. And Jesus calms the storm which imperils us. And this is not the storm that some would like to describe as the trials and tribulation of our earthly life. But Jesus calms the storm of sin and death. The wind and the waves of fallen creation threaten to overwhelm and drown us, but our cries for salvation are answered in Christ Jesus. Indeed, Jesus is something greater than Jonah. Jesus took the judgment and wrath of God in your place. You will not perish eternally because Christ Jesus died on the cross for your sin of disobedience and defiance, all your sins. Jesus, with perfect obedience to the Father, suffered and died on the cross for you. And all of your sins were paid for by the holy, innocent sufferings and death of Jesus Christ. And after being thrown into the belly of the tomb in the heart of the earth, Christ rose from the dead victoriously on the third day, conquering sin, death, and hell for you. All the earth with joyous sounding, Christ has risen from the dead. He, the greater Jonah, bounding from the grave his three-day bed, wins the prize, death's demise. Songs of triumph fill the skies. In the name of Jesus, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.